Hey, this is Adam Mastriani, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hi, this is David Kay, and you're listening to Altered Geek. Geek, 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 geek.
You're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three, punch.
Hello, and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron, and joining me on this adventure into geekdom is TFG1 Mike.
Hello, we are here.
Yes, and so this episode, not sure how long it will be, but this episode will be basically the rabbit holes we just can't get out of.
That's right. So, who wants to go first?
I think we all have those rabbit holes. Like, for instance, whenever I get into a geekdom or back into it or reintroduced to it or however it happens to fall,
right.
I go 180, like totally all in.
Right. Yeah.
And it's not just like one aspect of it. No, I have to go like completely all in.
Yeah.
It's taking great restraint on some fronts with certain fandoms that I'm in right now.
Yeah. That's
also lack of funds, but
well, yeah, I mean lack of funds is always an issue, but like when I think of like paying attention to the fandoms that we love, it's mostly like if we own the DVDs, Blu-rays, 4Ks, whatever, or if we already subscribed and we already worked into our budget for a streaming service to watch what, like whatever we're going to watch kind of thing coming up on, well, it'll actually be later, like probably the end of December, beginning of January. But this week, as we're recording this, as it's being released for Altered Geek, my buddy David Draper and I are going to be reviewing Andor on Studio 2009, and I've never seen Andor. And I remember back in, well, I mean, it's brand new. I just haven't had the time to watch it yet, but I remember a number of years ago we covered Rogue One and The Force Awakens, and I just didn't give two craps about Rogue One. I didn't care about that movie until the end when the character I knew showed up. So since Andor is a prequel to it with Cassian and all the characters, I'm going in with kind of like a fresh look. So, and yeah, cost is always prohibitive depending on whatever it is. But, you know, like I said, you know, you work stuff into your budget, you get what you can get, and then you plan for what you want in the future.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, I say that having, you know, been back into Transformers for a couple of years now and with the figures and the masterpiece and the other, you know, the repaintings and things like that. And there's still characters I'm like, oh, I'd really like to have this one. And I'd really like this knockoff masterpiece of this one. And it's just, It's like, do I need it? Do I want it? Is it something that, you know, I'd be fine if I didn't have? Because, I mean, I do have a pretty stellar, like, season one collection of everybody. And then I have certain transmetals. Like, I have, you know, a lot of the characters. Some of the, and I've kind of gone through my collection and been like, which ones would I not mind dumping? And then I find that it's a very small list. And which tells me I have two problems. One, I have a hard time getting rid of stuff. And then the other problem is I'm also trying to be a completionist of certain lineups. Like, for instance, I'm pretty excited about some of the new Beast Wars stuff coming for 2024.
Yeah.
Specifically like Silverbolt, just because the original toy was hot garbage and the new one, I'm like, okay, they reused some mechanics from Airazor, Pterosaur with the wings, and I like that. And then I like the fact that he just looks really good, and there's the hope that, you know, we'll get a quick strike at some point. But No, I mean, I'm liking the fact that they're going to have a couple of core class and deluxe beasts and then, you know, Voyager, and then we're getting Tigerhawk, even though my shelf can't handle it.
Well, you've said one of your goals is to have a completed season one cast, and granted, Tigerhawk was in season three, not season one, but you know, the Silverbolt, Quickstrike was season two.
Yep, Quickstrike and Silverbolt were season two. I do have Ravage, which is season two. So I mean, like, I'm not opposed to season two, but I also don't really care to have Rampage, which eventually they're going to come up with that. Like, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
So I mean, I'm kind of like hedging my bets on some of those, and I would be interested in Depth Charge, just for the sake that it's Depth Charge and I liked the character, but I also have Ian's Depth Charge in my cabinet because after he bought it, like a couple months after, it was just sitting in his room, and he's like, I don't care about it anymore. He's like, you can just put it on your shelf or sell it or whatever. And I'm like, well, if you decide you want it back, it's yours. If you don't, it's going to chill up there. And that's where it's been ever since, which was like 5 months ago. And then I, of course, have a couple of, you know, I have a Beast Wars Grimlock that I made custom. And I have, you know, Beast Machines Megatron and like the 10th anniversary Megatron that's a deluxe. And then I've got a few, like one of, I think I've got Ian's, pre-Earth Bumblebee, like Cybertronian Bumblebee with the, energy rods from the first episode. Cause he decided at one point he didn't want it. And he gave it to Nolan, and Nolan already bought the same figure. And then Nolan at one point was like, hey, do you want it for your shelf? And I was like, sure. So it's chillaxing up there with Prime.
Yep.
And
that's what I love about what Hasbro's currently doing. They're paying. We said this in the last All Things Transformers episode, but not the last, the one before the comic, the last news episode we did. They are paying attention and doing so many different things. And that original, the Cybertronian Bumblebee, man, so cool.
Yeah, so I mean, I have that. I have some G2 with J-Axis and Megatron, and then I have Scourge and, you know, stuff like that. So, and then some, you know, Beast Machines, quote unquote, Megatron, Optimal Megatron. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, I've got a nice collection there, and I'm enjoying those. May get rid of a few of the season one figures in lieu of some other stuff, but again, I don't know. And then, you know, the 3D printing, I've been making Star Trek ships, or at least the ones that will print fine. And I've recently found somebody that makes the ships so that they separate by color, so you can and it's all snapped together, so it require no paint or glue, like how they've designed them. And they put them on like their Patreon or something. And then after like 3 weeks, they're like, oh, they're, you know, the model's free. Cool. So I have the digital files for the original Enterprise, the Enterprise A, the B, the C, and the E, which the E has been this big, like one of those ships that I'm like, I want the stinking ship and I want to print it. But every copy I've tried to print has been utter trash. So this one, I'm interested, but I haven't, like, I want to buy the plastic colors I need to do it again to print it. And then I'm waiting for, like, yeah, there's the Enterprise F, and I'm kind of like, I don't know.
What is, okay, I know up to E. What is the F?
So the F is an Odyssey class starship, and or a Yorktown class, which is the refit. It's from Star Trek Online. That's where it hails from. And they used it for a whole, like, 10 minutes in Picard season 3.
Okay.
If that, like, it showed up for, you know, some of the battle or, you know, space scenes, but for the most part, it was just kind of underutilized and purposely glossed over. And then we have the Enterprise G, and this guy that's developed that, he's made the Enterprise G model, which I do have two different 3D print versions of it. One was kind of trash, and the other one is the one I've made three copies of so far. Mm-hmm. One at like normal size, one at 1.5x, and the other at 2x. And the 2x I haven't even remotely started to paint. It's just kind of sitting on the shelf at the moment because the 1.5x I was experimenting with some different paint methods and learning what I do and don't like. And so so that one pretty much is done. I'll probably take that one to work just because I don't intend on really displaying this version of it here. And then I want to print the one that that other guy made, but I got to wait a couple more weeks for it to go on Freebie. Nice. And it's nice. Don't get me wrong. Like, there's a guy on one of the Facebook modeling channels of model kits, mm-hmm. and he's made a immaculate Enterprise G model that you can put the lighting kit in. You can do all that. And the guy that created the Enterprise G for the show makes them occasionally for sale.
Like, oh, sweet.
Fully painted, fully decked out, fully decaled, and lighting kit. And they look spectacular. But I can only imagine the price tag.
Yeah.
And I would love to have a lit up Enterprise. Whether it's the A or the D or the G.
A, D, or G. No bloody yeah. B, C, E, or F.
Yes. And I have the Enterprise A model, but it's from Polar Lights. And that was another thing. One of those things, like, I bought a model before I had a printer, and I was like, oh, I'd like to build this. And the model kits they make today are just utter trash, like, quality. Mm. So it makes me reconsider wanting the Enterprise D model kit.
Yeah.
Because I've got the Enterprise 01, 1701 original from Discovery, and it was a nightmare to put together, like, because half the stuff didn't want to stick or pop together, and it says no glue, but I had to use glue. And then half the stuff just didn't, like, half the stickers didn't work right, and that's kind of the same boat with this Enterprise A that I have, and it's missing, like, the Aztec ink decals because, for whatever reason, they decided to sell it separate, and you can't get them anymore because they've discontinued it. And this, so, like, I feel like if I was going to do one of the Star Trek model kits, I'd have to buy something that's at least 20 years old.
Right.
Off eBay just to make it worth it because the quality is different. And I'd want to try and learn the lighting kit as I paint it just because I would like to have one that lights up. You know, even if it's using like modern LEDs and just buying it off Amazon and figuring it out. But yeah, it's one of those things. So among that, I've been having fun with those things and, you know, printing where I can and stuff like that. And then, of course, the finale for Power Rangers.
Yes, once and always.
Yes, once and always, which was not the finale.
Right.
It kind of is its own standalone, but it's...
Oh, you're talking about the actual... Okay, yeah.
Cosmic Fury is the finale of 30 years. And I found myself with watching that, going back and watching every crossover episode that Jason David Frank did and Austin St. John. And I really enjoyed those episodes whenever the two of them showed up in any capacity.
Yep.
And then to have Billy... who was in it through Zio.
Yep.
Come back as, you know, in the Once and Always and as the mentor in Cosmic Fury, and then having Mick come back in Cosmic Fury from Samurai.
Oh yeah. Samurai is a blur to me.
It's a blur to me too. And I had a hard time with it. Yeah. To be honest, I wasn't sure. Like, I'm like, I know I recognize him, but I didn't know from what.
Yeah.
And then I went back and watched Cosmic Fury and
Dino Fury.
And I was like, oh, they reintroduced him in Dino Fury. And, you know, around the same time, Lord Zedd was brought back. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so they're messing with that. And then I went back further and in, you know, Samurai, we had, in Super Samurai, we had the last sighting, I think, of Jason David Frank
mm-hmm.
as Tommy Oliver in the Dimensions in Danger.
Yep.
And had, you know, Steve Cardenas, you know, Rocky and
yep.
Cat and some of the other generational Power Rangers show up. And Wes from Time Force.
Yep.
Seems to always show up, too. And so, like, a lot of them were, like, glorified cameos in that, which was kind of sad, but...
Yeah, but they usually give them one or two or three lines or one or two or three exchanges within that 25, 30 minute, however the episodes are without commercials kind of thing. But, like, they usually give them something. Like, you look at Forever Red...
Yeah, it's that mainly, one was done really well.
Yeah, no, it was. Absolutely. 100%. It's mainly an Andros thing, but you have Bulk and Skull giving the phone to Tommy. You have Carter Grayson doing the Lightspeed Rescue stuff. You have Theodore J. Jarvis Johnson. You got TJ coming up, and, you know, you got Mr. Motorcycle there. You guys really didn't think you were going to do this without me, the original Red Ranger, did you? You know, you got Austin showing up and all that. And yeah, I love Forever Red. I go back and I watch that one a lot.
And then I watched Beast Morphers, where Austin St. John comes back for the last time.
Yep.
And, you know, they had one of the Beast Morpher Rangers come through, and he's like a power coin. And then, you know, Jason comes through the portal, and some of the comments about the episode were funny because they're like, oh, look, he puts the suit on and drops 50 pounds, like, or something. You know? I was like, all right, come on, guys. Like,
yeah, it's.
But I loved it because he, you know, came in with all the other Dino type Rangers, you know, the original MMPR, and then, you know, Tommy's group of Dino Rangers. And minus Tommy, of course, on all fronts. And and then they had, you know, Goldar Maximus, and he's like, "Hey, you're not so tough. We defeated one like you." So, I mean, it was nice seeing all these different cameos of returns and stuff like that. And just going down that rabbit hole. And now I'm like, oh, I wish I had the Master Morpher, or, you know, which is sold out and there's no way to get it.
Well, there's ways to get it. You can.
Well,
get
there
it
is on... if I want to spend $200.
Well, but, true, yeah. But like,
I'm hoping that they go back in stock.
Hopefully they will.
If they don't, I'm just SOL. But if they do, then I'm probably going to get it, because, like, I've always liked the Morpher. I've never owned one.
Yeah.
And so that's been one of those things that I was like, man, I'd really like to own one of the Morphers at some point of the MMPR era. Yeah. The Master Morpher is the one I would get, because it touches all the generations that Tommy was part of.
Yeah. I think it was on Instagram, but it was either, I think it was at New York Comic Con, which just recently passed for us. It was Jenna Frank, his daughter.
Yep.
Holding the Master Morpher, hearing his voice. Oh, just,
I would love to get my hands on that.
Yeah.
Just because.
I'd pay the $200 to have, hell, I'd pay $400 for each of us to have one. I don't care. Like,
I wish that Hasbro would, and that's the thing, is people are more mad with Hasbro not restocking.
Yeah.
Because it's allowing the scalpers to win, and it's allowing, like, people are like, how is this even fair? Like, a lot of countries aren't even able to get it because it's sold out.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, please just put it back in so that those of us that don't have one, like, because $65 isn't bad.
No, absolutely not. 100%. It's awesome. Yeah.
And then the other thing is like, I've also heard that they've put, like, Hasbro's thinking about putting Power Ranger stuff on hiatus, like the toys, for a while, which I think is kind of a fail when the demand is there for it.
The demand is there for it, but if they don't, if they're saying the show is over and they're going to reboot, however they're going to reboot, I can understand maybe not introducing new stuff that's coming to the shelves, but don't remove the stuff that's already there.
Like, yeah, keep the stuff that's already there. Some of the stuff that's sold out.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I, like, for instance, I have the Dino Thunder Tommy Oliver figure.
Yep.
Because I found it, like, and I guess it came out in June.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know. I've not followed that as closely as I have Transformers over the last, like, 4 years. Yeah. But I remember seeing it somewhere, and I was like, well, I have to get it. And I was like, if it's still there, sure. And so I looked, and I was like, oh, it's still there. Mm-hmm. So I did. And so... But, like, I also want, like, yeah, the Green Ranger would be nice. And I know they're selling a new version soon, but without his gold chest armor.
Yeah, without the shield. Yep.
Thing is, I could buy the Red Ranger that comes with it.
Yeah,
and just sure. Swap it over.
Yeah.
But then I would want, like, the White Ranger was my absolute favorite.
Mm-hmm.
And then I liked, for whatever reason, I liked Zeo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I liked the Red Zeo Ranger. Like, the Turbo, I wouldn't care about because he kind of was in it half series.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, the other two, like, I'm kind of like, it's like, do I hold out hope for the Master Morpher? Do I get the White Ranger?
Yeah, for me, with Power Rangers and Tommy specifically as a character, it's always been green or white, black, and then green. I like the Green Ranger stuff. That's how he debuted, obviously. Everybody already knows this. But I don't know. Like, for me as a teenager, when the movie came out, I was 15 years old. I was like, okay, the White Ranger, the White Ninja Falcon Zord, the this, the that, the whatever. Even the White Tiger Zord in the series. It's like, okay, this is really, really cool. We saw his arc with the villainous part, and now he's a good guy, and we got to get him new powers. And White Light Parts 1 and 2 are two of the single best episodes of Power Rangers ever.
Yep.
You know, but then after that, when Dino Thunder hit into... Oh, dude. Dino Thunder's going to be 20 years old next year.
Yep.
Came out into... Oh, God. I'm too fucking old for this shit.
Well, it's sad because, like, they had, you know, Tommy gone for, you know, a couple of series.
Yep.
Like, he was gone for half a Turbo, then In Space.
Yep.
Then Lost Galaxy. Then they had...
Lightspeed Rescue.
And then Wild Force. Wild Force, yeah.
But that's where Forever Red is.
Yes.
Is in Wild Force. So he came back there. But and what gets me about Jason David Frank is he was such a great person to talk to.
Like, yeah, I never got the opportunity.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. It, you know, not your fault.
But it was such a, you know, it was 15-year-old me having his dreams come true along with Scotty Cash, and we got a chance to talk to him, and he was just an awesome, awesome dude. And he was just so, when Legend of the White Dragon first, because Legend of the White Dragon, it had to kickstart twice. The first campaign did not get funded, which sucks, but the second time around, it got funded. We've been in all this kind of production. Not we as in I'm part of it.
Yeah.
But like they've been in all this production and everything else over the years, and it's going to be his swan song. It's going to be his posthumous release as the last thing he does in acting, because it's an original story. It's not Tommy Oliver. It's this character named Eric Reed, and he's going up against Dragon Prime and all this and all that. But the reason why I align it so much with Power Rangers is in that original campaign, the trailer that they used.
Target is heading for the south exit. I'll cut him off.
Copy that.
I got eyes. Don't move. Let me see your hands.
sit. Easy. Don't move. Cover me.
Already on it.
Keep those hands right there. Whose side are you on? Why are you running? Why are you hiding? Why won't you join the fight?
I've lost everything! They've taken everything from me!
It's him. You're not the only one who's lost something.
We've all made sacrifices. What do you want? You're the key.
Have you heard the legends of the White Dragon?
We believe we finally found something to help us restore balance. The White Dragon, Crystal. Your energy, your blood is the key.
Then why'd you attack me?
Because we had to make sure you weren't a clone.
You're wasting your time. I have nothing left to fight for.
She's alive! Your daughter. She's alive. So what your wife would have wanted! He has her at his citadel.
If you're lying to me, you'll be the first one to come after.
And if I'm not, you'll have found a reason to fight. Take it.
They had never said the character's name. They used, like, white crystal, red crystal, this crystal, that crystal, and it's Adam. It's Johnny Young Bosch as Adam talking about his daughter and this and that and everything else. And it was such a great, great trailer. And I cannot wait because I was able to back the second time, and I'm just now waiting for when the film eventually becomes, you know, available. And it's going to be so just emotional watching his man. I wrote up this article a while ago on my blog on the website about being able to express grief over celebrity deaths and whatever else. And we've talked about celebrity deaths on the network before. We sometimes usually do it at the year in review episodes that we've done over on Geekcast Radio. These people, we may not know them personally. We may not, you know, they're not our everyday friends, but actors, actresses, musicians, whomever it is in entertainment, they come into our lives. They give us television shows, animated shows, music, movies, whatever it is. And most of my opinion on it is, I love this person as this character. I don't like, okay, more specifically, I love Nickelback. I've always loved Nickelback. Have I ever cared to get into Chad Kroeger's personal life? No, not at all. I just want an amazing Nickelback album. Same thing with Blackstone Cherry. I don't really need, like, any act, like, I didn't need to know any of their like whatever they gave us on the screen or on the radio or on the whatever. That's what I was into. That's the way I approach entertainment, is the entertaining part and the performances that are given. And then you learn about all this stuff, you know, because we have the internet and Wikipedia and Google search and all this, all like, oh, they were suffering from this, or oh, they were and it just sucks. But that's the way I've always approached it, is I'm more about what they're showing me versus getting, like, I don't want tabloids. Their personal lives are their personal lives. But he just affected a lot of people for a lot of good, and it just sucks that he's not here anymore.
Yep.
So rabbit holes that I've been going down lately, I've said this before. I've quote unquote worked or wanted my whole life to have this large, like, widescreen monitor for my computer, and I now have it, 32-inch Samsung M7, whatever it is. But all the content has gone vertical now with YouTube Shorts and ticking, talking, and blah, 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 blah. Which, fine, I can do it on my phone, but, like, I have found myself getting I refuse to install TikTok on my phone. I'm not doing that. But YouTube and YouTube Shorts, I will doom scroll YouTube Shorts for 3.5 hours. I'll be sitting here editing this podcast tomorrow morning, October 25th, 2023. At the same time, I could be, as I'm listening to us talk about this right now, I could be sitting here on my phone doom scrolling YouTube Shorts. I don't like all the shorts. I don't thumbs up all the shorts. I thumbs up the ones I like. I thumbs down the ones I don't like. And then most of the time I'm just scrolling to find a cool, fun short. I've been, and this is something we talk about in a future episode, I've been watching a lot of the second edition of Who's Line here in the U.S. with Aisha Tyler as the host instead of Drew. I love the Drew years. The Drew years are awesome. They really, really are. But the Aisha Tyler years with Wayne and Colin and Ryan and whoever else they get in the fourth chair, usually Gary, somebody or whatever. Like, and I'm just having so much fun watching Who's Line. So I've gone down that rabbit hole. The rest of my rabbit holes are podcasts, or I've been hanging out on Discord a lot lately.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, well, obviously there's always the podcast rabbit hole of doing the Origins episodes and whatever we end up doing, whatever we end up covering. And I have, since we started this recording, I've added like 4 different anniversary episodes. So Studio 2009 is probably going to end up going a couple of days in a row at the end of the year, because I forgot Armageddon is 25 years old this year.
Wow.
Yeah. So for the end of basically all of December, we have Jurassic Park 30th anniversary, which Dave and I already recorded, Paycheck's 20th anniversary, Armageddon's 25th, and then a movie that pretty much I think only I know about because I've never heard anyone else talk about it is 1993's Airborne. This is a skater surfer movie. It was one of Seth Green's first movies. It has him, Jack Black, Shane West, Brittany Powell. It's got Chris Conrad and a bunch of other people, but it's basically about this California surfer who ends up in Cincinnati because his folks go to Australia for 6 months or whatever. And I've always loved that movie. So yeah, lots of anniversaries at the end of this year. We're going to try to cover them all.
Well, it sounds like a Pokemon catchphrase.
Yep. Absolutely.
Gotta cover them all.
Gotta cover them all. Gotta catch them all. I'm finding, not only, like I said, with the Origins episodes and doing the questions about podcasting or about comics or about toys or about whatever, cartoons, I'm still loving doing that. So that's a rabbit hole I've been stuck in. I'm trying to get stuck into the writing rabbit hole because I've tried this twice. In 2019, when the world shut down, or the end of 2019, beginning of 2020, I started TF2 and Mike 365, and it was basically a thing of where I was going to write one entry per day for all 365 days of the year. I didn't do all 365 days, but I did like day one, day two, I think I did 2 full weeks of writing, and then it ended up being sporadically. And of course, in 2019 is when I had brain surgery, so I wrote about that. And well, I started it back up this year, and again, it's been sporadic to do it. I'm trying to get back into just like focus on that. That's why they're. Have and have not been a lot of podcast episodes besides whatever scheduling things I have or others have. I've just kind of been sitting here editing what I have to edit for podcasts, but also trying to – usually for me, the morning is the better time to actually be productive. Like I can sit here and talk Steve's ear off all night, folks. We can talk each other's ears off all night long. Yep. But in the morning is when I have to sit down in front of the computer, look at a schedule, figure out what the pullback is going to do, figure out what Toycast is going to do, figure out what whatever is going to do, and then just start writing. And I need to kind of focus more on that, and I'm trying to focus on that a little more. So that's a rabbit hole I've been going down. What rabbit holes have you folks been going down out there in the audience? Why don't you let us know? Give us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or you can comment on this episode on geekcastradio.com as well. Anything else we want to bring? I guess we should talk about the Blockbuster thing, unless you had more rabbit holes.
No, I don't have that many more rabbit holes. I tend to fall in that pretty easily.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's like I need to do all of this right now. I will say, since we are recording this after the release of Spider-Man 2 on PS5, I want to call him a buddy. I hope he's a buddy, but a guy I've been following on YouTube for years now, the Rad Brad. He has started up streaming that, and I am loving watching that game because I don't do modern video games anymore. I just don't. It's just too whatever. But I love watching him play through those. Oh, and the other big thing for me is when Blackstone Cherry released their 8th studio album, Screaming at the Sky, I actually have lyric credits on AZ Lyrics now because I went and got the lyrics out of the booklet and whatever else and either added them or corrected them. So that was kind of cool. But yeah, Best Buy, and I think Walmart as well, but Best Buy is no longer going to be selling DVDs, Blu-rays, whatever. And I'm like, other than needing a washer, dryer, or refrigerator, why would anybody go to Best Buy now?
I'm quite surprised Best Buy is still open. I mean, because years ago, they segmented their whole store.
Yep.
Based on, like, they did the JCPenney thing, which mm-hmm. I always thought was stupid. Like, yep. you don't segment your brands.
Hmm.
You segment the product lines.
Yep.
Like, I always hated that, specifically with, like, I don't know, like, I've never understood it, never cared for it. It's like, if I'm looking for like a computer or a flash drive, put them all in the same area. Like, don't make me walk across the store to go find it.
Yeah.
And so that was one of those pet peeves of mine, like going in there. And so, like, honestly, I just shop on Amazon. It's mm-hmm. easier. I don't have to deal with it.
Nope. And yes, folks, you should still buy physical media. I buy a lot of digital media, but I bought the 4K version of Batman Mask of the Phantasm physical media. So this article from Variety, this was posted October 13th, but it has since been updated. Best Buy, consumer electronics retailer, will phase out sales of DVDs and Blu-ray discs both in-store and online in early 2024, according to industry sources familiar with the company's plans. Best Buy made the initial decision to end DVD sales 9 months ago, according to one source. Best Buy confirmed Friday that it is ending sales of DVDs to state the obvious. The way we watch movies and TV shows is much different today than it was decades ago, a Best Buy spokesperson said in a statement to Variety. Making this change gives us more space and opportunity to bring customers new and innovative tech for them to explore, discover, and enjoy. So basically, they're excising all the DVDs and Blu-rays so they can put in, VR displays or MR displays or AR displays or Apple Vision Pro or whatever. Yeah, I agree with part of the statement as far as how consumption of entertainment has changed, but there are a lot of us out there that would prefer a physical disc over most digital stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that too.
Mm-hmm.
I personally prefer digital. However, it depends on where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have my own external hard drive hooked up to my network.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently looking at ways of making it a visual, like almost like a Netflix.
Mm.
But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Who knows? All right. What else we got? Anything else you want to get off your soapbox about it? All right.
I think that's my soapbox.
Coming soon to Altered Geek, Steve's soapbox.
We'll see.
We'll see. It's not going to be a headshot, we can tell you that.
Headshot. Anyways. So we hope you guys enjoyed this episode of Altered Geek, and we hope that you guys have your own rabbit holes that you can let us know about. You can send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. If I could speak English. You can also get a hold of us on the website or on Facebook. Catch us on any podcatcher, unless it's Stitcher and Google Podcasts, because, you know, they're taking the dive and ignoring podcasting. Shame on them. Anyways, so you can get a hold of this podcast in all of those locations and on most social platforms. Until next time, I have been Steve Megatron Phillips.
I'm TF2 and Mike.
Get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks.